Sunday, and frankly, every Sunday. For over 2,000 years, we declare that Jesus has conquered death and the grave, that he has conquered hell, and that he has dealt a fatal blow to Satan and his demons. Yes. The women went to the tomb and they found only angels. Mary Magdalene went there and found who she thought was a gardener, but it was Jesus alive, and now with his glorified body. Mary Magdalene had known Jesus, and she knew his voice. And when he spoke her name, she knew it was him standing there, alive, with her, near her again. It would be later that the 12 minus Judas would venture to the empty tomb. Yet Jesus drew near to them too. He came to them on the lake shore, and they thought he was a ghost. He came to them when they were huddled behind closed doors, and Thomas doubted that it was Jesus. And he met them on the mount before he was to ascend back to heaven. Jesus drew near to them, not silenced by death, for he spoke to them again. No sting of death, for he was breathing life into them again. No void in their hearts, for he would fill them with his Spirit. Today marks Jesus' resurrection and then Pentecost in 50 days. But today I want to preach about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. You see, the same power, listen, the same power that brought Jesus back to life is the same power that was poured out on those gathered in that upper room. And frankly, it is the same power that God wants to pour into your life and mine and fill us up with God's Spirit and God's power. So turn to Acts and let's look at it together. I'm going to read a few verses in chapter 1 and then a couple of verses in chapter 2. Beginning in verse 6, it says, "Then they gathered around him," that's his disciples, those who were following him. And I want to say, I don't know that it was just, you know, the guys. I think that it was a group of men and women, brothers and sisters in Christ, who had followed Jesus all along. And here they were gathered with him at the end before he was to ascend. And they gathered around him. They asked him, "Lord," here's this question now. "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel?" And Jesus said to them, "It is not for you to know the times and the dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." And he said this, after he said this, he was taken up into heaven. And a cloud came and hid him from their sight. In verse 10, they were looking intently into the sky as he was going, and suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. And they asked him this question, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand here looking in the sky? The same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." Verse 12, "Then the apostles returned to Jerusalem from that hill called Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day walk." And let me pause right here and correct something I said last week that was an error. A Sabbath day walk is a half mile, about a little over a half mile. Not 7 miles, like I said last week, okay? So just wanted to clear that up a little bit. So thank goodness the disciples only had to walk a half mile, okay? Not seven. They might still be walking, okay. Verse 13, "When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying." That's that upper room. That's that room where Jesus and his disciples gathered together. That was their room. And those that were present and accounted for, it was Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, not Iscariot, the son of James. Which it makes me wonder, Judas, son of James, it makes me wonder if he's like, like a young one, like he is the son of James, who is the son of Zebedee, the son of sons of thunder. It just makes me wonder. The scriptures don't really clarify it, but I'm always curious about those kinds of relationships in the scriptures. If we can kind of use our imagination and wonder that connection, how would it have been for Jesus to have called James and then James's young son? What I want to say today to you young people in the room is this. Jesus doesn't wait till you get to be an old adult to call you to him. He calls you now. And many young people are called by Jesus to give their whole lives to him. They're not weighted down by the concerns of the world or by family or work or debt or other things that hold people back. Young people are free to go with God as he calls them. Maybe the Lord is calling you, young man and young woman. Listen to him and always, always say yes to the Lord. Well, verse 14, it says, they all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and also Mary, the mother of Jesus, with his brothers. Can you believe his brothers were there? You know, that rascally bunch of brothers. And they weren't always nice to Jesus, but in the end here, they were gathered there too. Jesus' mom and his brothers were there. And then chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. And they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit enabled them. Praise God. Bless his holy name for this great gift of his in the Holy Spirit. Jesus promised him and the Father sent him. Praise the Lord. You see, we can be satisfied with the gifts of God, our Father. You know, the gifts of salvation. We can be satisfied with that. Thank God he saved me. I've got eternal life and abundant life here on earth. Thank God for that. We can be satisfied knowing that he forgives us of our sins. We can be satisfied with the fact that when I was a teenager, I came and received the Lord and was baptized and joined the church. And that we can be satisfied with that, and that be it. And surely those are good gifts from the Father. But I'm not sure that's the complete picture. I believe that God's gifts don't stop there. As good as those gifts are, as good and reassuring as salvation is and as forgiveness is, you see, God had in mind a kind of experience with him for his followers that would include the power that comes from the Holy Spirit when he is poured out in someone's life. I want to share with you today four explosive impacts of the pouring out of God's Spirit and his power. And I want to say this now. These four that I'm going to share with you today are not, they are not all of the impact that comes upon people when the Holy Spirit is poured out on somebody. I'm not going to stand up here today and tell you that this pastor has the Lord figured out. When the Lord pours out his Holy Spirit on somebody, the Holy Spirit will do with that person, with that child, what he wants to. So these four impacts are not all of the ways that the Holy Spirit impacts us. But I will say this, they're enough to get us started, okay? So let's get started. Let's look at the first one, and that is this. The first impact I want to share with you today, and let me make mention of this. We've reformatted our programs. On the backside, there are some lines. There's a place for some sermon notes. And so if you're a note taker, you like to jot out thoughts or scriptures, or if there's a point or two that you want to jot down, that's a place for you to do that. We want you to be able to just track along with what God is saying to you. So the first impact I want to share with you this is that there is a different kind of spirit and power that God has in mind. And we see that in verse 8. Look back at verse 8 with me. It says this, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my what? Witnesses. You'll be my witnesses. Now, what kind of power did the disciples have in mind? Well, look back up in verse 6. And so they asked Jesus this, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? They weren't concerned in any way about being witnesses. All that they were concerned about is that the Lord would restore his kingdom. Well, when God pours out his Spirit, I can promise you, there is a different kind of spirit and power that God has in mind. The disciples were turned on by the possibilities of having earthly power, of having political power. They were turned on by the idea of having the prominence and influence that fishermen from Galilee just didn't have. And I'm sure they were curious about what it would be like to have fame and fortune that would go along with that. But you see, when God poured out his Spirit, he had a different kind of power in mind. They asked Jesus for all of this kind of power, earthly, human power. The essence of their question is this, Jesus, when will the kingdom of Israel be ours? Because we've been with you now for this run, and it's been exciting. But Jesus, we really want the kingdom to be ours. How awesome would that be, Jesus? That was reward that the disciples were in favor of for all of their devotion to Jesus. Jesus, we want our kingdom back. And so when are you going to restore it? But Jesus had a different kind of spirit and power in mind. Look at what God's Spirit and power seeks to accomplish. He doesn't seek to grant to us this great kind of earthly human power. No. What kind of power does he promise to give us? He says that in verse 8. He says, you will be my what? Witnesses. You'll be my witnesses. That's what God's Spirit and power seeks to accomplish when the Spirit is poured out. He gives us an ability or a power to be his witnesses. He gives us power to be his witnesses in the big city. For them, that was Jerusalem. For us, who knows what the big city is? But he gives us power to go to the big city and be his witnesses. He gives us power to go out into the region, out into the rural areas, out into the towns and villages to be his witness. He gives us the power to be his witnesses in the undesirable places. You know, sometimes we say, God, I will do whatever you want me to do, but don't send me there. Because you know that I would not fit in well with those people. I don't want to have much to do with those people. But that's exactly what Jesus was saying when he identified Samaria. Samaria was that place that was, good Jews didn't go there in that day and in that time. And Jesus says, no, the power that God the Father is going to pour out on you is going to send you to that very place, to those very people. You see, God has something else in mind than we do when his power and his Spirit is poured out upon us. God's Spirit and his power seeks to bring his kingdom, his rule, his way, his love, his grace, his life, his truth in the person of Jesus to this world that he has created. Jesus described it this way. Repent, folks. Come back to God. Because listen, his kingdom is now here. That's what God has in mind when he pours out his Spirit and his power. I want to leave you with one takeaway for this first point. So what am I supposed to do with that, preacher? Do this. Consider daily submitting to this. God's rule in your life. Consider it. So, well, Pastor, I do a pretty good job with my life. I've done pretty well. I think I can handle it on my own. Plus the fact I'm a little bit like that disciple named Thomas. I got some doubts. So I don't know if I can really fully give myself to that. Well, I want to challenge you a little bit. Consider daily submitting yourself to God's rule in your life. Just give it a try. Give it a try. I may be in the minority these days, but I believe this. God created us, and He knows us, and He has an intent for our lives. And many times that intent for our lives can sometimes go against what we intend for our lives. And so the takeaway is this, is the first point. Just consider this. Just give it a try. Just try submitting your life to God's rule and see what God can do with you when He pours out His Spirit and His power down into you. Okay, let's go to number two. All right, what's the second impact? This kind of explosive impact that God has. Well, God's Spirit and power is poured out into the you that you are. Verse 11. Look back at verse 11. It says this, these angels, these messengers that were there in, as Jesus had departed and gone to heaven, these messengers that were there, says, men of Galilee, He identifies them as men of Galilee. Now, I imagine some of those men of Galilee would have wanted to be called men of Jerusalem, men of Judea, but no. The messengers of God named exactly who they were. Men of Galilee. Don't forget where you came from, guys. You're men of Galilee. You might want to be a man of Jerusalem or a man of Judea, but you're just still a man of Galilee. Jesus, who's been taken up from here, will come back in the same way that He left. This second explosive impact of God pouring out His Spirit and power is that He pours out His Spirit and His power on the you that you are. Now, I want to tell you what I mean by that. In some of my studies, I was able to discover that Galilee was not an honorable place, really. It was called in the Old Testament Galilee of the Gentiles. You had Jerusalem, you had Judea, and you had Galilee. And people in the big city of Jerusalem didn't necessarily think so highly of the fishermen from Galilee. And so these men of Galilee that wanted the kingdom of Israel for themselves, how awesome would that be, Jesus? Men from Galilee don't get that. But Jesus, look what you can give us. But God had something else in mind, a different kind of power, and He poured it out on those men of Galilee, on the men that they were. And they were Galileans. They could never quite get away from that name, from that identity. Men of Galilee. Every time Peter and Andrew, every time James and John entered down into Jerusalem, they were those guys from Galilee. Jesus was called this. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Well, Nazareth is right there in Galilee. Yet it was those men from Galilee. Yes, they had the look, they had the accent, they had the smell. Those men from Galilee. He chose those men from Galilee. He chose those women from Galilee to pour out His Spirit and His power onto them. There was a kind of baggage that came with being from Galilee. Galilee of the Gentiles. You might come with your own baggage. I said, preacher, you really don't want me to come to your church. You just don't know my history. You see, I come with some baggage. You might come with your own baggage. An identity that you have questions about. A self that others find very easy to bully and to badger. But today, God is choosing you. God is choosing you. God is choosing you to pour out His Spirit and His power upon. You might think that God would choose the high and mighty. You might believe God would choose the movers and the shakers, the politicians. You might think God would choose the rich and famous, the beautiful, the charismatic. And I'm so glad that He does choose some of them. But it's hard for a rich man to get into heaven, because a rich man doesn't know his need. But when you're down and out, you know your need. And you know that Jesus is the only one that can meet that need. Thank God He chooses some of those big people and beautiful people. But thank God He chooses Galileans like me. He chooses those, not based necessarily on where they come from or what they look like or what they have to offer, none of that. But He chooses people simply for this: who's ready to be filled? Who's available? I search high and low just for an available heart to fill. Who's available? Maybe the reason Jesus chose Peter and Andrew and James and John wasn't because they were so dynamic. They were just available. And He knew what God could do with available people. He chooses those who are ready to be filled, who are available to them, to Him, who are interested enough to show up, attentive enough to open up to Him. And then He goes to work. God goes to work. We don't acquire the Holy Spirit on our own. God pours Him out. That is His doing. And it is a pouring out. When God goes to work, He pours Himself out. Now, we can stop that pouring, and we have to be careful. We can stop it. Sometimes I've asked myself, why do revivals end? That's because people are people. And when people start acting like people, guess what happens? The Holy Spirit gets quenched. And He goes somewhere else. Well, here's the takeaway for this second point. Desire the Lord. Desire Him. You could desire all kind of stuff. You could go after all kind of stuff. But today, on this Easter Sunday, here's a takeaway I want to throw out at you. Desire Him. Give it a try. Desire Him. Desire Him. Desire the Lord to fill you up. Ask Him, Lord, fill me up. What have you been asking the Lord for? Maybe this week, start asking Him, Lord, fill me up. I don't know what it means, Lord, but I desire it because I want more of You. What I've had has been good, but I'm hungry for more. I want more of You, Lord. And so I'm open to it. I'm attentive to You, Lord, and I'm asking You to fill me up, Lord. Take me and do something with me, because I don't really know what I'm doing with myself. Do something with me, Lord. So the takeaway, desire the Lord to fill you, and He will. Amen. Amen. Here's number three. Stay with me now. I think I heard somebody's clock chime. Stick with me. Here's the third impact. God's Spirit and power God's Spirit and power captures us in prayer. Verse 14, what does it say? Look back at it with me. Verse 14, it says, they all joined together constantly in what? Prayer. Constantly in prayer. Who was it? It was all the disciples, and it was all the women. It was men and women, brothers and sisters in Christ, all gathered there in that upper room. Well, God's Spirit and power, it captures us in prayer. So much of our time these days, we are tugged away from anything having to do with God. He doesn't equate into the, he doesn't factor in to so many lives. And it's like we've been tugged away from God over days and months and years. All different kinds of reasons. Concerns, stresses, opinions, bad experiences in church, deadlines from work, money, can't make ends meet, relationships that have really gone sour. And sometimes, just to be frank, there are lusts in our hearts that just lure us away from God. But see what these brothers and sisters in Christ were doing? They were praying. They were seeking the Lord in prayer. They were surrounded by other believers. You know, it's good to pray alone, and sometimes we need alone time with God and get by ourselves in a quiet place, in a prayer closet, and go to the Lord in prayer. But there's something that God only does in the midst of his people, like this. And these brothers and sisters in Christ gathered together, and they were in prayer. They were in prayer seeking the Lord, surrounded by other brothers and sisters. These followers of Jesus were sticking to it. They had not fractured. And that band of brothers and sisters had not ruptured. They were sticking together, sticking to it, in prayer, seeking the Lord. God's Spirit and power captures us in those times. It was men, it was women, it was friends, it was family, all there together. The Lord took this group, unlikely, undeserving, people, this group that had been put down and sought to disband. And God took this group and displayed his glory in them, his glory, his presence. That's what glory is. It's God's presence, the light of his presence. That's glory. And God displayed his glory in them. Here's the third takeaway for this third point, this third impact that God's Spirit and power captures us in prayer. Here's the takeaway. Try this next week. You may not make it past Tuesday, but try. Start every day, begin every day with a prayer. Two different kinds of prayers. It's easy. First prayer is this: thank you. You don't know how to pray? I don't know how to pray, preacher. It's easy. Start with this one prayer. Start your day and try it this week. Start your day this way. God, thank you. Thank you for this day. Thank you for your breath of life in me. Thank you for my family. Thank you for my work. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you. Just thank you. And then the second prayer, remember, every day, start with a thanks. Second prayer, start with a help. God, help me. Help me. Help me to honor you. Help me to please you. Help me to follow you. Help me to do well on this test. Help me, Lord, in this relationship, because there's a lot of tension here, and it's about to wreck me, and I need your help. And this day is going to be a reckoning, and I need your help. Thanks, and what? Help. Try it. Okay, here's the last point. Okay, this last explosive impact. God's Spirit and power is a filling. It's a filling, okay? He pours his Spirit into vessels and fills vessels, that's us, that are, catch this, prepared. Prepared. Now, I'm going to share a little story here. If I'm not careful, I can find myself doing something like this. I go into the kitchen for a glass of cold milk. And if you know me, you know that I love ice cold milk. And usually there are cookies involved. I reach into the dishwasher to get a glass that I'm sure I've washed. Without checking it, I pour in the milk and gulp it down. As I'm finishing the glass, I look down into the glass and I see, to my horror, leftover stains and residue. and I realize I've just filled up and drank from a dirty glass. Can there be anything worse? Maybe. Listen, God's plan for us, it begins with salvation, yes. Many of us have accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior. Many when we were young and we've sought to follow Him and give our lives to Him. And God's plan begins with that. It continues on day by day with His forgiveness of us. But it does not end there. God desires more for us. God desires for us to grow spiritually. God desires for us to feed our souls. We feed our bodies. Some of us overfeed it, but we don't do anything to feed the soul that is in us. And God has placed it there. He desires us to grow spiritually and to feed our soul. And He desires for us to be filled up with Him. It's just that the stains and the residue of our sins many times keep that from happening. David in Psalm 51 says that it's a broken and contrite heart that God pays attention to. Not a prideful attitude that is dismissive of sin and mistakes. So here's the fourth takeaway. Come to the Lord regularly, regularly, with that kind of heart that is contrite and confesses before Him. You may not confess anything to anybody ever, but the Lord wants you to open up to Him. He's not going to smite you. He's going to receive you and welcome your openness and honesty with confession. Lord, here's how I've messed it up. I need your help. And repentance, that time of change of heart and mind that turns us back to God. And then finally, do you know what God does to that heart, to that contrite heart that confesses and repents? He cleanses. He cleanses. He cleans it. He cleans us. He takes that dirty glass and He washes it out so that it sparkles. And He takes us, this vessel, and with confession and repentance regularly, He cleanses us. Try that this week, this takeaway. With some regularity, come to God in confession. Have a heart that's willing to repent, to turn back to Him, and then allow God to go to work cleansing you and cleaning you. There is no feeling that even compares to that sense of clean and pure that comes when God has been at work cleansing us. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Amen. Lord, thank You for this good word of Yours. Thank You for the outpouring of Your Spirit. Thank You that Your great power was on display when You brought Jesus back to life, Father. And thank You that as much great power was at work when You poured out Your Spirit, Father. And we ask You to pour out Your Spirit today. We pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Folks, we're going to sing a closing song today to wrap up our time of worship. So I want to invite you to stand today. It's a great song that we all know and love. Just as I am. Let's stand together. Let this be the close of our worship.
Just as I am, without one plea, but that Thy blood was shed for me, and that Thou bidst me come to with open arms, praise God. as I am.
We thank you that that hymn is so true. You receive us as we are. You welcome us with open arms, just as we are. We come to you, Lord, just as we are. But when we come to you just as we are, Lord, you take us and you work in us. We do not walk away the same. We walk away transformed and changed for your glory. In your name, Lord, we pray. Amen. Let me share a few announcements and then I'll dismiss you. Life groups, which is our kind of our small group ministry, they're not meeting today. They'll start back next week. Guys, don't forget, we're going to be grabbing some Mexican food tomorrow night. So I'll be sending out a text message for that. If you're not in the text message for the men's group, come and see me and I'll get you connected. All right. April 27th, that's on a Thursday. We have a senior adult luncheon coming up. So sign up for that or you can see Jack Abbott and get signed up. Also, May the 6th is Choices Walk for Life, and back on our missions wall, you can find some more information about that. But this has been a wonderful day of worship, hasn't it? Amen. And I pray God would richly bless each one of you as you depart from this place. May he go with you before and behind you. May he come in underneath you as your foundation and come over you as a roof for protection. May he fill you and pour out his spirit and his power in you, and that you would glorify him in every way. Amen and amen. Have a great day. Happy Easter.